This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of One Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On today's episode, we're going to quickly rush through game week 30 and discuss some of the injuries and suspensions that will have impacted your teams ahead of game week 31. It's a midweek deadline. There isn't long to go. So without further ado, let's get into it. Okay, game week 30 then is done and dusted in the bag. Couple of notable results, Manchester City 0, Arsenal 0. Two clean sheets there, that was particularly surprising. And actually, the biggest winner was Liverpool from that result. Their 2-1 victory against Brighton earlier in the day meant that they shot up to the top of the table. No clean sheet for Liverpool defence, so those with the likes of Connor Bradley or Virgil van Dijk will have been left frustrated, but not as frustrated as those who will have wildcarded and had the luxury of being able to bench their Arsenal defence. Obviously not backing the clean sheet against Manchester City, but it wasn't to be, and the fortune went the way of those that were almost forced into playing those Arsenal defenders. Elsewhere, we had a dramatic victory coming from behind for Newcastle. They were 3-1 down against West Ham. Ended up winning 4-3. A hat-trick of assists for the most popular man at Newcastle in terms of FPL, Anthony Gordon. But the 3 points for that third assist were almost immediately wiped out as he rather frustratingly picked up a second yellow card. I think it might have been for kicking the ball away or dissent. Ended up becoming a red card, minus 3 points. So that three assist performance from Anthony Gordon meant he lost his bonus. He lost the points for one of those assists and ended up with just the 8 points. Still not too bad, but the most frustrating thing is that Anthony Gordon is now suspended for game week 31, which means, unfortunately, Newcastle will not have Anthony Gordon for a home tie against Everton. That will have been a fixture that owners in FPL would have been looking forward to, but it wasn't to be. Also, with regards to Newcastle, we also had Jamal Lascelles pick up an injury after just 16 minutes, and it was a nasty one. Looks like he has done his ACL. That'll be 6 to 9 months out for him. Newcastle's injuries just continue to rack up. Of course, Lascelles was coming in to replace Botman, who himself has been ruled out for several months. So almost certainly now they'll be forced into playing Dan Byrne at centre-back. So if you're thinking of Lascelles' replacements, Dan Byrne at Newcastle could now be the one to go for, but we'll come on to potential replacements for injured players a little later in this episode. And the big winner of that fixture was, of course, Alexander Isak with 2 goals and an assist. Very impressive performance from him. Of course, picking up the 3 bonus points as well. Elsewhere, we had Spurs 2, Luton 1. Spurs coming from behind, losing that clean sheet for the likes of Udogie and Pedro Porro. Owners would have been particularly frustrating after just 3 minutes. But Heung-min Son, the winner once again for Tottenham. I actually saw a stat earlier today that said that Heung-min Son has actually got more winning goals than any other player in the Premier League this season. An absolute clutch player, fantastic FPL option. Other key performers in game week 30, we got another goal from Dominic Solanke in Bournemouth's 2-1 victory over Everton. Cole Palmer was on the score sheet twice for Chelsea in their 2-2 draw against Burnley. That was a surprising result after Burnley went down to 10 men, but managed to still get a draw. Muniz continues his fantastic goal-scoring form in Fulham's 3-3 draw against Sheffield United. He picked up another goal. Sheffield United surprisingly managed to score 3 goals, 2 for Brereton Diaz. And of course, that Liverpool victory was thanks to, once again, Mo Salah getting the winner in their 2-1 victory over Brighton. Right, let's turn our attentions quickly to game week 31. It's a quick turnaround with a deadline of tonight. That's Tuesday, the 2nd of April at 6 p.m. UK time. That's just 90 minutes ahead of the first kickoff of game week 31. And that's Newcastle versus Everton. Also at that time, we've got Nottingham Forest against Fulham, Bournemouth taking on Crystal Palace and Burnley facing Wolves, with West Ham hosting Spurs. Then on Wednesday, we've got Arsenal against Luton, Brentford versus Brighton and Manchester City hosting Aston Villa. And on Thursday, Liverpool are at home to Sheffield United and Chelsea host Manchester United. So those are the fixtures, but perhaps for you, a slightly more pressing concern could be some injuries. And if we start in defence, there are a couple of notes that are worth considering. Newcastle's Jamal Lascelles picked up an ACL injury in just the 16th minute, hence his single point return in game week 30. But that does, of course, mean that we will have to look at a replacement. If you are fortunate enough to be able to field three defenders that have reasonable fixtures, I mean, for me personally, I've got Udogi, who's away at West Ham, Gabriel at home to Luton, and Aitnori away at Burnley. So that's not too bad a defensive line. I can afford to just keep Lascelles on my bench this week. And I'm going to do the same actually with Gusto at Chelsea as well. We'll come on to Gusto in a second. Lascelles, of course, for many will have been brought on that wildcard as the really nice, cheap 3.9 million option. Unfortunately, he's going to be out of action for the rest of the year. So we are obviously going to have to look at replacing him at some point. It might not necessarily have to be in game week 31. Of course, you know, if you are looking to play your bench boost in game week 34 or maybe even 37, you've got time to address that. But for now, it's not an absolute urgent replacement. With Gusto at Chelsea, I would say that you don't need to sell him. If you don't have him yet, though, I wouldn't necessarily bring him in this week. Yes, he's flagged, and that is because he picked up a slight hamstring injury. The indications are that it's not particularly long term, but there is a chance that he doesn't make the Manchester United game with such a quick turnaround. There's every likelihood that Gusto misses that game against Manchester United. So I think if you own Gusto, you bench him and you wait for more information. If you don't own him, I don't think you buy him yet. But I don't think he's an immediate sell or replace just yet. Chelsea have such good fixtures that if you can hold on to him, it would be pretty useful. And they are going to double twice before the end of the season. They don't double in 34. But most people will have brought in Chelsea defenders with that in mind and with the plan of benching Chelsea players in 34 when they face Arsenal away, but then keeping them in their squads for later in the season for those two doubles and the good fixtures between now and that Arsenal game. So the fingers are crossed that Gusto makes a speedy recovery, because we do want him for game weeks 32 onwards. I think Chelsea's fixtures, I'm just going to take a quick look now. Yeah, 32, they've got Sheffield United away, and then 33, they've got Everton at home. So you do want Gusto to be fit for those two games so that he can hopefully pick up some clean sheet points and hopefully even some attacking returns as well. If, of course, you are in the market to replace a defender this week, first of all, well done. Your squad must be in pretty good shape. And second of all, I think you really are going to be dictated by what your chip strategy is. If you're free hitting in game week 34, you don't need to worry too much about getting someone who doubles in game week 34. So perhaps you could look at someone cheap like a Manchester United defender like a Harry Maguire, who will double later in the season in game week 37 and doesn't have too bad a fixtures. Of course, Manchester United are away at Chelsea this game week, so it's not an ideal game week to bring Maguire in, but there are fitness concerns around Varane and Lindelof, so Maguire should get good minutes between now and the end of the season. If you are not free hitting, or you've already used your free hit in game week 29, like many did, then you've got to really start thinking about loading up on these double game week players in game week 34. So this could be an opportunity for you to look at a cheap doubler. So perhaps someone like a Reguilón at Brentford. If you can stretch to that, maybe Kiwior at Arsenal. Again, slight concern there over potentially rotation risk. We'll have to wait and see. I think if you've got extra budget, then maybe you go for someone like a Virgil van Dijk. I wouldn't be tempted to go for Connor Bradley despite his cheap price. I think he's gone up again. So I think he's now 4.2, which is still unbelievably cheap when you see that his points return in the last few weeks has been absolutely exceptional. But as I mentioned in the last pod, we do have to think about the return date of Trent Alexander-Arnold. The likelihood is, with Liverpool in a title race, as soon as he's fit and ready to play, Klopp is going to want to play Trent. So that will impact Connor Bradley's minutes. So I think if you don't have Bradley, I don't think it's a wise move to bring him in now. Unless you still have your wild card, of course. If you've still got your wild card and you're planning on playing it maybe around game week 35, then I actually think that Connor Bradley could be a good move because they've got good fixtures between now and 35, including a double in game week 34. There is, of course, the risk that Trent does come in ahead of that double. So it's a risk. I believe that Trent, Jota and Alisson are all close to returning to training. And that will, of course, impact FPL managers who have brought in those cheaper alternatives to those players. So, for example, anyone who hopped on Connor Bradley or Kelleher, they will have to bear in mind that those two players are going to be at risk of losing their spot in the first team when Alisson and Trent come back in. With Jota, it's slightly different because I don't think he comes in and naturally just takes Darwin Nunez's place. Darwin's been playing well, but he is, of course, at risk of rotation once Jota is fit once again. So that's worth bearing in mind if you are looking at some cheap alternatives in defence. As for midfielders, I think the biggest concern ahead of game week 31 is the fitness of Bukayo Saka. Arsenal at home to Luton means we're all praying that Saka is fit because that could well be a game that is very high scoring indeed. And you would fancy Saka to get returns. He did hobble off in game week 30. Now, he does tend to sort of hobble off every single time he leaves the pitch and then seems to make some pretty quick, miraculous recoveries. And also, Arteta is not particularly forthcoming when it comes to injury news. So it's not always reliable what we get. He did actually say after the game that he didn't think he was injured. So we just have to hope that Arteta isn't taking this game at home against Luton for granted. He takes it seriously. He plays his full strength side despite the quick turnaround, and Saka is in that starting 11. Very, very rarely is Saka rested, so fingers crossed that that trend continues. If he is indeed in the starting lineup, then Saka actually does make a very appealing differential captaincy choice this week. At home against Luton, who ship goals for fun. They have been very competitive, but they do concede a lot, Luton. And Saka, you would expect, if he is in the starting 11, to be amongst the points returns. However, he isn't the best choice for captaincy this week, in my opinion. And that title goes to Mo Salah. Liverpool at home against Sheffield United. That feels like a bit of a no-brainer if you've got Salah in your side. Usually, the no-brainer captaincy choice Erling Haaland would be a shoo-in this week as well. Manchester City with a home fixture against Aston Villa. Despite Aston Villa being a very decent side, you would normally be backing Haaland to get returns there. But the weakness of Sheffield United's defence just gives me more faith in Salah this week. 12 shots he had in game week 30. You could argue that those stats would suggest that just the one return from that means that he's not being particularly clinical at the moment. The way I look at it is he's getting into lots of goal scoring opportunities. And Salah is someone who, if you give him enough chances, he's going to put them away. And I think that Sheffield United are going to give him a lot of chances. So Salah will definitely be my captain. I suppose there is a little bit of hesitancy on Haaland as well after not the greatest of performances against Arsenal. You could also say that Arsenal's defence handled him very, very well. He wasn't given loads and loads of chances. And that might be different against Aston Villa. So we'll have to wait and see. But for me, I think the best captaincy choice is Salah. What's really interesting about captaincy this week is that not everyone is going to have Salah. And there are appealing options outside of that pick. So obviously Haaland and Saka will be particularly appealing. You've also got Cole Palmer at home against Manchester United. Ivan Toney at home against Brighton. Son away at West Ham. These are all really tempting options for differential captaincy in a week where not everyone is going to go with the same pick. So it does feel like a good week to have a little bit of a punt if you are looking to make up the difference on someone in your mini league, or you're just trying to get a nice big green arrow in the overall rankings. And that leads me nicely on to the final topic of discussion for this episode. Is Haaland essential right now? We've seen the form at the moment isn't perfect, but we also know that this man can absolutely haul in the blink of an eye. And the fixtures, whilst City don't double in 34, the fixtures are still really good for Manchester City. They've got Villa at home this week, but then after that, they've got Crystal Palace, Luton, Brighton, Forest and Wolves, all ahead of the double in 37, which we think will be Fulham and Spurs, and then it will be West Ham at home to finish off the season. City have got a really good run of fixtures. However, there are other teams that have good fixtures and appealing FPL options up front who will double in 34, so perhaps you could go with them first and then switch over to Haaland to get his double later, therefore maximising the number of games that your forwards will play between now and the end of the season. So you could go, for example, with maybe a 3-4-3, and your three forwards could be Darwin Nunez, Dominic Solanke and Alexander Isak. Now, Isak still has really good fixtures. He doesn't double either in 34, but that does allow you to perhaps afford these other premium players that I said elsewhere in your side. And then around game week 37, you could switch out a couple of those players to be able to afford Haaland for his double. So really, it's all about catching the wave of fixtures at the right times. Every team plays 38 games, but you can maximise even more fixtures if you time your transfers well. So that being said, it is still worth remembering that Haaland is still top of the goal scoring charts in the Premier League. 18 goals so far this season. He does have good fixtures. And if you can afford to have him and the other premium picks in your team, then by all means, crack on with Haaland in your side. This alternative strategy is really only for those who want to be able to afford some of those premium assets who have great fixtures and double in 34, in which case, go for those and make sure you get Haaland back in for his double later in the season, especially when you consider the fact that there's almost zero risk of rotation for Haaland as well, given that it looks like this title race is going to go down to the wire. And I can't see Pep resting Haaland in any Premier League game. Despite the potential fixture congestion and them going deep in the Champions League, he's going to want his main man up front to score the goals and hope to retain the Premier League title for Manchester City. So that is it ahead of game week 31's deadline in, well, a little under an hour now. So I'll quickly run through my team ahead of the deadline. At the moment, I'm rolling my free transfer and I'm going with Dubravka in goal at home against Everton, Udogi, Gabriel and Aitnori at the back, Palmer, Saka, Salah and Son in midfield. Salah with the captain's armband. And up front, I've got Haaland at home to Villa, Darwin Nunez at home to Sheffield United, and Muniz keeps his place in the side after his goal-scoring form continues. Can he continue again against Nottingham Forest away? We'll have to wait and see. On my bench, Petrovic in goal, Gordon, who's suspended, Lascelles, who's injured, and Gusto, who is a doubt. That's my team ahead of game week 31. Thank you very much to everyone for listening. A reminder once again, the deadline is Tuesday the 2nd of April at 6 p.m. UK time. That is in just under an hour's time. So hurry up. Don't miss the deadline. Get your team sorted. And best of luck to you all ahead of game week 31. Here's to another green arrow. And I'll talk to you again soon.